The theme of these conferences, as you know, is a Holy Spirit encounter. And who does not want a Holy Spirit encounter? You wouldn't be here unless you wanted a Holy Spirit encounter, right? Do you know that it'll probably come with a cost, a requirement? Usually less of me, more of him. But that place, that requirement, that cost, that place of decision is enlightenment. I hope I move faster through this than I am. The theme of this whole conference, as you know also, is redemptive faith. The word is our anchor. And consider this. You know what an anchor is, right? You know if you throw it in, you generally do not see it laying on the bottom doing its job, what it's supposed to do for function, right? But you know it's there. That's faith. You don't see it. You don't see how it's working exactly, but you know that it's there. You threw it over. It's just like the Word of God. You know there's promises there. You might not see them manifest yet, but you know if it's in His Word, it's promised by faith, it's there. So imagine this. Imagine you have the word, because the word is our anchor. So just imagine this. You are in like a river, really strong current, and you have an anchor down, but you have a lot of slack out on your anchor line. And it's like the more slack you have, the more your boat can drift here and there and be tossed and turned in the waves and tattered, the waves of life, billows of concerns and sickness. The word is no different. If the word is your anchor and your line is a long way from that word, you're going to be battered and tattered. But if you shorten that line, the less slack, the less you slack in your Christian walk, closer you are to the word, yeah, you're going to be moved by the waves and stuff, but not nearly as bad as if you had a long line out with a lot of slack. Does that make sense? So here's a question. You know, growing up, not my question yet, but you know, growing up, when I was in elementary school, we used to have the tetherball. Did you ever play tetherball? You got the pole and, you know, a lot of slack, and the ball is like going all over, and the closer it gets wrapping around, the tighter it does. There's not a whole lot of play in it. So let me ask you this. Do you feel tethered or tattered? Are you tethered into the word? Or do you have so much slack in your line that you find that you're being tattered? Nancy shared last night that the theme verse for this conference is the entrance and unfolding of the word from Psalms 119. But I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. And it says, "Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans." Remember those words. Break open your word and open hearts, because I'm going to come back to those. But the title of this workshop is Be Enlightened and Intuitive. And the scripture that this workshop focuses around is Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. You know, it's just like the anchor that's thrown out. That's faith. And this, like I said, 2019, it's about redemption, redemptive faith. And you know that it is impossible to please God without faith. Right? You know that? It's in his word. I can't remember the scripture exactly. Oh, it's in Romans, I think. Yes, it is in Hebrews. Sorry. Hebrews. Somewhere there. It is impossible to please it is impossible to please God without faith. That is a biblical principle. It also says in Ephesians 5:10, find out what pleases the Lord. We always want to know, you know, in our Christian walk, it's like, you know, even if we're not Christians, we want to usually try to do what is the right thing if we have any kind of conscience at all. But it's like for us that are pursuing the Lord, it's like we want to find out what pleases the Lord. Well, you know what? What doesn't please him is lack of faith. Because without it, it's impossible to please him. That is a lamp onto your path. So, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path, right? So, I brought a few prompts. I have the word. I have the Amplified. I have the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, NIV. Used to be my favorite. I have the Passion Translation. I have one that is called the Names of God Bible, God's Word Translation. I have Keyword Study Bible, New American Standard, good for Hebrew and Greek. I have, I better hurry, otherwise my workshop's going to be open, huh? Over. Parallel. NIV Message. If you don't understand something, read it in the Message and it'll bring it down to earth. Like David saying, man, it feels like my kidneys and my liver are at war. Have you ever felt like that on the inside? You can find that in the Message. King James. Holy Spirit Encounter. It's a New Living Translation, and Newberry Reference Bible. There's my path, man. Oh, wait. I got one more. Travel Bible. New American Standard. All-time favorite. Now, when I did this workshop before, I said my all-time favorite. I love this one. But I didn't tell what it was. And my mom's like, Sarah, I listened to your workshop, but you never told what it was. Well, this is the Spirit, Life in the Spirit Study Bible, NIV, currently out of print. But my favorite. You know why? Because I grew up in a very conservative church. And when I really started to pursue the Lord and find out that, you know what, there is way more that I don't even know about. And I switched translations. I had the Thompson Chain, and this had commentaries, and it had a little bit of a twist on it that just probed my thinking. And it started to bring such enlightenment to me. So that is my favorite. So I also have got my word, I got my light. A lamp. I am good to go. If I really want to study, I know where to go. Yeah, all these Bibles, all these translations, all this knowledge right there, right? Not so easy to travel with. So I got the word, I got my lamp, and I have a pathway. And the word is my pathway. But remember I said enlightenment is like a place of decision. When something is brought into the light, you have a decision to make. Are you going to follow that pathway or not? And, you know, a lot of times, like, we want to follow the parts that, strobe, disco. We want to follow the parts that are, that don't cause us to stretch or push our buttons or bring that kind of correction that causes us to give up more of ourselves. You know, I think probably everyone in here would say that they pray, right? You probably all read your Bible regularly, right? Do you fast regularly? Is that part of your, I say daily, but is that part of your, with lack of better words, Christian regimen? Because in the Word of God, they're all right there together. When you pray, here's how you do it. Don't do it like the Pharisees do it. And when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, and when you give, do it like this and not like this. Those instructions are in there, but we kind of like, oh my gosh, I am not giving up a meal today, you know, unless it's comfortable or something. But, you know, there are reasons for, it's like a three-chord strand together is not equally broken. Giving, prayer, and fasting. That is a powerful key to the kingdom of God. So if you want to really pursue more, take a deeper step, do it according to how the word says to do it. And it doesn't say, you know, do it, you know, this long or that long, although there are types of different fasts links in there, you know, and stuff. But that's the Holy Spirit can speak to you specifically on that. But as Christians, you know, we know we're supposed to read the word. We know that that is our pathway. We know we're probably supposed to go to church. And, you know, maybe it's really good if there's a prophetic speaker and we get a word. And, or, you know, do we pray just when we have a problem? Are we kind and compassionate when it's convenient? Or just to those people that we think deserve it? Are we honest and tell the truth unless we need to get out of something or get kind of in a situation that's uncomfortable? And then we kind of tell a little bit of the truth, but not really. It's like God's word does not change. His truths are true. There's no way around it. And thank God he doesn't require perfection, because none of us would ever make it. That is also in his word. There's no, not one perfect. But it's like, oh my gosh. So got the word, got the lamp, and got my feet, and it's like made in the shade. How much light do you get in the shade? When you set up, or when people install solar panels, where do they set it up? In a place where it's going to catch the rays of the sun, right? We need to do that also. We need to make sure that we are positioning ourselves where the sun is going to shine. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be in darkness, because if the Lord is saying, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, you don't need a light and a lamp if you're in complete light, spiritual lightness, right? But if you're going out into the darkness, out into the place where the lost are, you need the light of his word. That is your path. I know growing up for myself, it's kind of like when you have a problem or an issue or a circumstance, it's like, man, I used to like dig in the Bible. It's like, okay, where does it say specifically that he wronged me in this way? Or she, you know, and you just like search it out. You want those specific answers for your questions. At least I did that. And pretty soon it's like, oh, who goes down in the den on a snowy day and kills lions? It's like, or who ties a bunch of foxtails together and sets them fire through the village? And it's like, oh my gosh, they whacked their big toes off. It's like pretty soon, you know, I went to the Bible because I had an issue. I was like looking for something to point a finger or something like that. And then I'm fascinated by all these other stories. That is kind of a broad example, but it's like that's what the Word of God does. It somehow gets you back on path, but you got to read it. You got to spend time in it, not just when you have an issue, not just when you have a problem. Christian character is a manifestation of that word, and there's no other way to get it except get in it yourself and believe it by faith. And you know, it's like that anchor. It's like, you know, when you can't see something, it's kind of an adventure, right? Right? Who likes an adventure? Okay, one person. Okay. Well, we are on the brink of an adventure. Don't ruin it with too many questions, children, said Mary Poppins. But here's the deal. These Bibles, this word, it's not just a list of do's and don'ts. Before I was filled with the Spirit or really understood what that meant, it was like I felt like, okay, if I do this right, you know, he loves me. If I screw up here, he loves me not. You know, he loves me not. So you spend your life trying to stay within the confines of doing right or doing good or trying to be perfect. And it's like, it's too hard. You can't do it. There's no joy in that. It's like he gave us, through the blood of Jesus Christ, a freedom to try to walk as righteously and pursue him wholeheartedly. You know, he already knows we're not going to always hit the mark. It's called grace, and it's called mercy. I had a dream recently, and I won't tell you the whole dream, but in a nutshell, this is what it meant. There was a bear that was like right outside of our house, and my husband was out there, and he saw it, and he shouted, and it stopped. And I saw this other bear coming, raging through the woods in the distance, and I'm like, oh no. And I immediately thought of, in my dream, I thought, oh, Mitch got a new gun, which he did, handgun, and I knew that. And then I thought, you know what? I don't know where the safety is on it. So in my dream, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I could get to the gun, but I don't know, you know, where the safety is. And it's not like you can go, bear, could you hold on a second? Let me find the safety. It's like if you don't know how to use your weapon, it is not going to be any good to you. If you don't know how to apply, how to use the Word of God, it is not going to do anything for you. That is just a word on paper. But there's a Spirit of the living God that breathed those words. That is the infallible Word of God. And by faith, you take hold of those promises, knowing that, you know what, if it is in there, I can claim it, it's mine. If I don't see it today, it's still mine. If I don't feel it, it's still mine. If He said it, it's mine, no matter how long it takes. It's like a, you know, a marathon runner. It's like he or she can't wait till they get up to the starting line and decide to eat their carrots and carbs, you know, because it's not going to be just too long into the race where they lose it. You have to ingest those things ahead of time so that you're ready to run the race. It's in you to use. You have to ingest that word. The Lord said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're not going to be a part of me. You have to do that for yourself because you're in a race. And when you come up, when that bear is charging through the woods, guess what? You better know how to use the safety. Lucky for me, in the dream, there wasn't a safety. But I didn't know that. I mean, in real life, there wasn't a safety on the gun, but still, it's like if you don't know it, if you don't know how to wield your weapon, it's not going to be applicable. You have to spend intimate time in the Word. The Word is alive. It's power. In Timothy, it says, every scripture that has been written by the Holy Spirit, the God breathed, it has empowered you for instruction and correction, giving you strength to take the right decision. The right decision is that enlightenment. And lead you deeper into the path of godliness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. So how do you get from that stack of Bibles or that path of Bible to be enlightened and intuitive? Do you know that in Luke 8:11, it refers to the Word of God as a seed? That is, the seed is the Word of God, right? It was interesting because when I didn't come across this until, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's like I went back and I was reading that that's in the parable in Luke, and it's like in verse 8:11, that's what it says. It says the Word is the seed of God. 8 plus 11 is 19. That's faith. You have to plant a seed, and by faith it grows. But here's the thing: all seeds have to be tested. You know the parable about some seeds were sown on this kind of ground, and some seeds on rocky ground, and others sprang up. But soon, when the worries and the cares came, it's like there was no roots. And it fell away. And I, you know, it's like I've known that parable for a very long time. It's so familiar, you know. But when I was looking at this time, it was like, you know what? You can have the best seed possible. Every Bible that you see there, that is prime, primo, excellent seed. But you got to have the right soil. So here's my question. This workshop is about being enlightened and intuitive. But you have to look at the soil of your heart. I have to look at the soil of my heart. Is the soil of my heart ready to receive the word? Remember when I started out, I said, in the Passion Translation, it says, break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Break open your word. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. See, that seed can take root, but there's going to be a testing. There's going to be. He tells us that in his word. It's like there when the testing comes, when your faith is tried, does your seed bear fruit? Nobody can make your soil right. Nobody can ready your soil. The Lord is not going to force you to have good soil. He will never push his will on you. He wants you to love him out of a free will. Only you can make your soul soil ready for him, ready for his seed. You can open your heart, you can receive it, but it's like Nancy sharing with the illumination and the activation. It's like you got to activate it. He'll make it grow. He causes it to grow. It's like, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. Amen? Let me ask you this. That the seed, any seed, it has to die if it's going to bear fruit, right? That's just a farming principle. Seeds, before they produce anything, they have to die. So have you ever had a dry season? Kind of a no-brainer, right? Let me ask you this. Are you still producing fruit in your dry season? That's kind of where faith kicks in, too. It's like you sure don't feel like it. You don't see it. It doesn't seem like it. But by faith, if you keep applying the Word of God, pursuing God, trying everything that you can to make your soil right, and ready, you're bearing fruit. But sometimes, you know, that fruit is still growing, but you don't see it yet. It's like right now on the trees, those buds are ready to burst out. Somewhere in there, they're coming. They're coming. Just hold on a little longer. They are coming in there. But it's not time yet. The soil of your heart has to be in good condition. And it's like the Holy Spirit's like that miracle grow. We don't have to do it alone. He empowers us. And it's like we have to face trials. We have to have our seeds tested and tried because if we're going to mature, if our character is going to mature, there's no way around it. But it doesn't always have to be painful, you know? I was listening to, have you heard of Kenneth Hagin? He's, you know, I don't know how many years ago he died, but here he is, a spirit-filled, well-seasoned pastor, minister. The Lord blessed his life incredibly in his ministry. Tremendous fruit. But later in his ministry, he said he was praying at the altar, and it's like he saw this old shoe that had, it's like one that you'd found like 3 winters ago, you know, or that was lost 3 winters ago, and it was just ugly and tattered, and he pulled it out, and he's like, Lord, what's this? You know, he had this vision, and the Lord says, that's your Baptist background, teaching, tradition that's still in you. And he's like, oh. So he pulled that out, and here's another shoe. You know, he's repenting for it and pulls it out. Here's another shoe. Not quite as bad, but still, you know, an old shoe is an old shoe. And he's like, well, what is this? And he's like, that's your Pentecostal traditions and teachings and stuff. Now, the reason I tell you that is because it doesn't matter how mature you are, how much fruit has come out of the things that you've done out of obedience or sacrifice or for God or anything. It's like you can never be in a place where there's not something that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, wants to bring into alignment in your life, take out of your life, or put in your life for His glory. It's like, why do we resist so much when it's like, who wants to carry a pair of old shoes around within them, you know? But that's what we do. Do you have old shoes on the inside of you that need to come out? We don't want to get rid of them because they're so darn comfortable, you know? In fact, what we do, like the pair I'm wearing, I'll just get a new sole on it. I'm not getting rid of these shoes. Ask yourself in the days to follow and in this weekend, ask the Lord to show you some shoes that you maybe, it's time for those shoes to go to the dump. Because you can't fake good fruit. You know, there were followers of Jews, or there were followers of Paul, talks about in Acts 17, that here are these mature Christians. Paul, an apostle, mature. But you know what? After they sat under Paul's teaching, they themselves went home and searched the scriptures to see that if what Paul was teaching was accurate. Do your pastors a favor. Search your word out for yourself. Come to church fed in His word. Do your own study. You know, have all these different versions out here. I don't read them all every day. I have pretty much one standard, and then I branch out from there. But and you know, sometimes it feels like it's like, man, I just read this and I got nothing out of it, and I go away feeling dry. And few days later, something, it's like it comes out in the form of somebody needed something or a word. You can't measure things that the Lord puts in you by what you feel always. Like I think Nancy said it either last night or today, that, you know, it's great when people will get the impartation and there's a visible sign. But what have you done out there with it? It's not just a meal for in here. It's to feed. We can't just eat from the hand of our pastor or drink in worship music or crave prophetic words from one to another or consume God TV or digest Christian books or, you know, just be around Christian fellowship or whatever. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if I need a lamp and I need a light on a path, I'm probably going in a dark place that's probably unfamiliar, which means I'm probably going to be stretched. Anything that matures is going to be stretched. I was talking to Dia, playing the piano, and she was saying that she hates playing in D minor. And I'm like, well, I hate bar chords, so I don't do it. But lately I've realized, you know what? If I just stay in the same key, if I don't ever try to do something that I can't do or that's comfortable, or if the song, you know, when you hum it, is in one octave, no big deal. But then when you try to sing it, it's like this, you know what? This song that I wrote is like way out of my range. If you don't apply things to yourself that cause you to stretch, your sound is never going to change. And remember, I started out with a question that if you have, you're here probably because you want an encounter with the Holy Spirit, right? Here's the oxymoron in there. It's like, it may cost you everything, but it's totally free. But you have to be the one that gets your soil ready. You have to learn how to walk in the power of His Word, and He will teach you. It's like we want the microwave version, but you know, sometimes we don't even really know what we're searching for. But He has a way of giving us just what we need. And kind of, I used this illustration last time because it's kind of an example of, you know, I grew up in the church my whole life, and that's all I ever knew was, you know, what Christians should do, what I thought they should do, or what my, you know, family and upbringing and stuff like that. It was good, you know, doesn't make it always right and always accurate, but it's like you follow the teachings of, you know, what you've heard or the teachings that you sat under. But, you know, sometimes when you go back and you get in the Word and then all of a sudden you see a new side of it, a new perspective, a new meaning of it, because, you know, you've read it in one version and then maybe you've researched it in Greek and Hebrew and stuff and you find a deeper meaning. Well, one of the things that growing up, and it was a teaching I don't remember, you know, if I said the name it would be familiar to you, but I don't even remember the name, but that's not the point. But it was a teaching that, you know, it's from Hebrews. What is it? Hebrews, got it here somewhere. 4:12. And about the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Now, I always looked at that as, so, you know, you have a soul, you have your spirit, and you have your body. I thought of it as, so you've got this spirit, which is totally all God. And so when you do good one day, and you know, things go right and stuff, then, you know, then your spirit's, or you're saved or whatever. But then all of a sudden it's like, okay, so if it's divided, then this day, well, you know what, it didn't go so well. I was down, depressed, and it's like, how can I ever make it? It's like if one day I'm up, one day I'm down. And I'm not talking about emotional and moody and stuff. I'm talking in your Christian walk, it's like, how is it that it just seemed like the bar was too high, that I would just never be able to make it? And then I heard another teaching on it. And the Word says it penetrates, the Word of God, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. not soul from spirit, not joint from marrow, but your soul or your spirit. Here's your soul, which is like your emotions, your decisions, your personality things. So it's not, you know, if I do good in the spirit here, I'm living here today, but you know what, screwed up, so guess what, living here today. No, it's not dividing my soul from my spirit. It's like, okay, you know what, today I read the word and stuff, and maybe I didn't feel that I really connected with God, but I'm telling you, I did all I knew to know to do. And it's like my spirit, it's like it divides this way. Or maybe I, you know, the Lord was telling me to fast, and it's like, you know what, I really want to fast. That would, like, maybe I'll do it later. So guess what, spirit, it divides that. But guess what, I'm still part of every part of my personality, every part of my emotions, you know. And it's like, it's dividing, the Word of God divides the soul. It divides the body. It divides the spirit. You know, sometimes you get your cup filled, sometimes you don't. It doesn't divide my spirit from the rest of me. It's like, that's all me. Whole package. Does that make sense? And I often thought, you know, what about the bone and the marrow? It's like, why is that in there? I mean, I get the soul and the spirit and things like that, but, you know, what about the joint and the marrow? Well, in a little bit more of a study, it's like there are lesions that when they're damaged or abnormal, the tissue shows up in the marrow. And that tissue affects the joints. It's like the beginning signs of the joint and marrow. So, which, you know, physiologically doesn't really mean that much, but if you apply it spiritually, it's like when you get something in you that is going to be a sign, it's like that yeast, it's going to grow. It's like that's what the Word of God does in instruction. It takes and it divides that joint and marrow, and it tries to point out where those lesions are caused by disease or trauma or whatever that can bring about more of an impact on your life in a negative way or positive way. Does that make sense? How am I doing on time? So those lesions in the bone marrow help predict the progression of a joint disease. So are there things that you find in the Word that come out that it's like, you know what? The Lord is trying to tell me I have a spiritual bone disease, or I'm headed towards a spiritual bone disease. I had a lot of other things in my notes, but I just want to say just a few more things. That when I did this in January, I had just come across this study about millennials, and the gist of it is, it's like, they don't believe the Word of God because they don't believe that there's power in the Word of God. But there is. That is the living Word of God. So we are not doing our jobs. Just one second here. Here's a question for you. In your house, does Jesus get the guest room or the master suite? Because if you want the word to be a light unto your path and your pathway, you're going to have to give him the master suite in your house. There's a story that I heard not too long ago about. He's an older man now, but when he was young, like 18, the job he was working on required him to go into this tunnel in water and wade through it. And, you know, kind of at 18, you're pretty much free game to do anything. And if you're the youngest on the roster, you get elected for things. Anyway, I don't know if that's the case or not. But here he is. He goes into this dark tunnel, gnarly branches hanging down. But the only thing he had was a machete. Should have been a kind of a sign. You know, nobody else wanted to go down there. But he soon realized that if he went to the right or the left, he was going to fall off the path. And he really couldn't see anything, but he kept going because he knew that he had to get from here to there. You know, in your life, you have a path set before you, and you have to get from here to there. But this seed right here, it's not going to grow unless something dies. We have to die to ourselves so that there can be more of him. So he's walking down this path and gets partway through, and this water moccasin falls right there. And I don't know about you, but it's like even the story gives me the willies because I hate snakes. But here he is, he's in this predicament, and he looks up, and the Lord says, look up. And all he can see at the end of the tunnel, still all the gnarly stuff, but blue sky. And the Lord told him, he said, keep your eyes lifted up, and you'll make it. The deep on the right and left of him, it didn't go away. All the gnarly stuff before him didn't go away. The darkness did not go away. But there was a light that we have, a lamp, the Word of God, that if we keep our eyes up, regardless of the distractions, the things that impede around us, around our hearts, our minds, our health, our family, our friends, kids, pets, whatever, keep your eyes up. Because he promises he will never leave or forsake you. He promises those things, but you got to believe him by faith. That has to be your anchor. Even though you don't see the promise, it's there. See, my whole life, I was raised in the church. I knew God was the only way. Not that I always walked it that way or whatever, but I knew it. The Christian walk is more than knowing. You gotta do it. And it's like, Lord, you could just fix this like that. It would be no big deal for you to just fix this area in my life that I struggle with. He's like, but then you wouldn't know the power of my word. I did not know really what he meant by that. I'm like, okay. And I learned the power of his word. You know how I learned it? I spent time in his word. Sometimes I would just fall asleep. I still tried. I journaled. It's like, Lord, if you said you are the deliverer, then that's who you are. This, follow my path here, this one right here, my mom sent me this, the Names of God Bible. it tells like all the different, you know, through the course of it, tells all the different, you know, God, my provider, healer. It's like, you have a name. You know what your name means. Your name is part of the manifestation of your character. Sarah, princess, still trying to manifest that. I'm working on it. Be willing to burn your shoes. Be willing to let the Lord show you areas in your soil that are hard or are dry or that are swampy. And just spend time with him. Don't wait till you're in the race. Don't wait till the bear is running through the woods to figure out how to use the safety. Be prepared. Know how to use your weapon. These Bibles are great, but only if you apply them. Only if you do as Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Amen.